This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm K Pagan, and joining me on the show today is a very special guest, stand-up comedian Kavin Jay. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, he's a stand-up comedian. His only relationship with film is that he occasionally likes to watch them.
Yes.
And what is he doing on this show? Again, because, you know, we've already spoken about his Netflix special.
Yes, yes, you have.
Apparently that wasn't enough for you.
No, I want to be in the cinema. You see,
you decided to invade our cinemas as well.
Yes. And you see, one of my bucket lists is to have the red carpet walkway, like what you had with Paul Rudd and all these people. So one of my bucket lists is to be red carpet interviewed by Uma Pagan, Ambike Pagan.
Now, instead, we're getting you in a cinema hall. This is a very surreal thing. I saw the posters. I took a picture of it with me standing next to your big face at TGV Cinemas.
Yes, you did.
Because it was quite surprising. You're doing a tour in the cinemas across 6 states in Malaysia.
Yes, I am. So basically what's happening is I needed a venue to perform my new tour, and TGV Pictures and Cinemas have come along and said, hey, why don't do it in our cinemas? And I thought, that would be interesting. So I went to check out the cinemas and everything, and it's the closest thing to a comedy club I can get.
Right.
Because everybody's close-knit, it's dark, sound system is great, the acoustics is great,
yeah.
And it's, you know, we just had to put a bit of lighting in there. But, you know, other than that, it was so good. Like, I thought, this could really work. But the only problem is, a lot of people have been messaging me saying that, so are you screening the show on the screen?
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought we go in and then we see a big fat Indian fella on a big screen. But apparently that's not the case.
That's not the case. I'm actually putting a stage in front, you know, the empty space in between the screen and the seats. I'm putting a stage there and I'm performing there live. There will still be a big Indian fellow on the screen, I think, at one point, because they want to project my picture behind me. I don't want that to happen, but we're still in discussion.
Okay, so this is very interesting for me because I think cinemas have started branching out to do these sorts of things because they need, I guess, other revenue streams, right? So they've started showing live football matches, wrestling.
Yes.
Even gaming competitions.
Yes. And no, the thing is, with TGV, I had a discussion with them and they are in the business of experiences. Instead of just movies, they want to give you experience. So they want to do stuff like wrestling and football and stuff like that. And even I suggested to them a concert. Can you imagine? Because obviously we cannot see Queen in its older glory. But of course there are, you know, footages of Queen performing in certain places.
Of
but
course.
Can you imagine watching that in a cinema?
Yeah.
Like, because the atmosphere is great, right?
And what you said was absolutely correct. The sound system's good.
Yeah.
The lighting can use some work, but you need... These are all things that you watch in a dark room anyway.
Yes, exactly.
And it is the perfect environment for this sort of thing. But for you, as a stand-up comic, how does that change what you do? Because the environment is slightly different. You know, there's tiered seating. The people at the back are quite far away. In the work you do, it's about crowd
being
engagement,
close.
Right? It's about being close.
No, but okay, it's actually opposite from watching a movie, right? Because watching a movie, when you sit at the back, that's the prime seats.
Exactly.
But now, you are the cheap seats because you're at the back. Now, the front seats become the premium now.
Well, not really. I don't want to be picked on by you. Like.
No, okay. First of all, it's very dark, right? Chances are, Uma, I probably won't see you.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, the thing is, it doesn't change much, I think. I still can pick on people if I want to, but That's not what I do in stand-up comedy.
Right.
I'm not an insult comic. I don't pick on people and go like, oh, that shirt looks... I don't do that. I rather, you know, do my jokes and kind of work things out with the audience and kind of have a connection with the audience as a whole, which is better in a dark cinema because now the audience is not self-conscious about other people looking at them. They're not self-conscious about laughing at something that they might be construed as, oh, you know, I'm laughing at the wrong thing. So it's less self-conscious. I think it will be a better atmosphere if it's darker.
It's quite a hard sell because I think for a lot of people, they're a bit unfamiliar with this idea of watching something other than a film at the cinema. And also prices of tickets are slightly higher than your average movie. I mean, yes, you can pay 100 ringgit to buy an indulge seat or something like that. But
it's actually 78 ringgit and 98 ringgit.
Right.
Right. So the reason the prices are higher because there's obviously a lot more to pay for, like the stage, the lights, we had to bring in extra sound. Because we can't use the 5.1 surround sound Dolby because that's hardwired to the projector.
Right.
Right. So they can't just plug in a mic and go like, hey, talk lah. So we had to bring in a sound system. Of course, TGV has their own things, promotionals and stuff like that.
And of course, there's you.
Yes, there's me.
Because we're paying for your presence.
I also need to pay rent. So so what has happened is, it is a hard sell because people are thinking, people are confused. People are thinking like they're just going to screen. People are messaging me going like, hey, I've already seen your show on Netflix. Why do I need to see it on a big screen? I'm like, no, this is not that show. This is a completely new show. Oh, so they said, oh, so you recorded another show and now you... No, I'm like, no, I'm performing it live. I've never performed this show before. I'm doing it live in front of you. And they're like, oh, invite me for the premiere lah. I'm like, no, there's no premiere. I'm going to be there every single time. They're like, oh... Yes, sir. And I can tell from their voice that they don't understand, right? And that's why I'm here trying to look. I put it this way.
Okay, just tell people.
Maximum 3D, Super IMAX. Okay, so basically, I'm there performing live on a stage in a cinema.
It doesn't get more 3D than that.
It doesn't. Okay, wait, gotta.
Can if it be you more reach 3D? Out and slap someone,
you will actually get slapped. Front row will get wet. That's all I'm saying.
So this is all new material?
New material. Brand new.
I'm sure you've tested it.
I have a little bit and it's gone really well so far. I just came back from Singapore. I did a little bit of it and they seem to like it. So I hope, I really hope people like it. But the thing is, it's grown. From what you've seen me on Netflix and now I think I've grown a little bit and there are... You can see the difference a little bit. I'm a little bit more of a storyteller now. I tell stories about, you know, my past and the bad choices I've made in life, which is basically the theme of this stand-up special, which is I've made some bad choices and I want to tell you about it.
So this would be essentially the first part of a new tour.
Yes. This is basically the Malaysian leg of the tour. And I'm thinking, I'm definitely doing Europe next and then US as well. I'm already in discussions with those people. And this is going to be big, I hope. I mean, you know, for me to travel around the world bringing the Malaysian sense of humour.
Because Kavin, your Netflix special went down really, really well. I mean, we haven't spoken on air. We spoke to you just before the Netflix special premiered. And it's gone down very well. It's made, you know, like top five on a lot of lists chronicling Netflix specials, Netflix comedy specials, right? So one, that must feel really good.
It feels great. It feels great to be, you know, just recognized as a great stand-up special by people outside of Malaysia
who don't know you, right? I mean, I have to say that I like you know.
Yeah, I see the sincerity in that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, fellow Indian, if I put you down, you'll say I'm a crab, la, this, la, that, la. That aside, obviously it's open doors because you've mentioned Europe, you've mentioned the US. And I guess it makes things just that little bit easier having that brand behind it.
And yes and no. It has made it easier for me to connect with people outside of Malaysia. Because people in US have been messaging me, people in UK have been messaging me and saying like, hey, we want you to come down, we want you to do this and that and this and that. However, people in Malaysia, it's a little bit less. I have to say that, you know, although my special has made some waves outside of Malaysia, inside of Malaysia, I think I'm still overshadowed by the Harith and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, they've been doing the game for such a long time.
I mean, they've paid their dues, obviously, 26 years of doing work and stuff. And Harith has paid his dues and he's clearly a celebrity, right?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm just this guy who's, by the way, have done a Netflix special.
But I think the interesting note is, of course, you know, Harris is a celebrity. Harris yes. is selling Baju Melayu as well.
Exactly.
I mean, you're doing the dingy clubs.
Yes.
Which is what stand-up comics do.
Yes. But here's the thing. When I do dingy clubs, people don't hear about me. I'm the grassroots. I'm the guy who worked his way from you know, doing all these shows and right. suddenly now has a Netflix special. The comics love it because comics are like, oh, this is a rags to Netflix
exactly.
story.
You're not rich yet.
No, trust me, I'm not rich. Right. So basically, it was one of those things where they looked at me and they went like, oh, you know, because they thought that you have to be a celebrity like Harith to get a Netflix special. But then they saw me getting a Netflix special and they went, oh, so it's possible to do good work in dingy clubs and get a Netflix special. So, yeah.
Okay, so this is the thing I've been wanting to ask you, and I don't know if you know, actually, but have local productions and studios, have they kind of wised up to this idea of stand-up comedy specials, or are they still worried about the content? Are they like, oh, we don't want to pay money for this because who knows what these fellas might say?
You know, you'd be surprised the amount of stuff that a lot of people who has come out and said they want to do specials now. And the problem is that most of them just do it haphazardly because they want to rush into something that think, oh, you know, this has happened, so let's jump on
the
bandwagon.
There's a copycat mentality,
yeah.
right?
But the problem is that they don't see the fact that, you see, they have done a few before, right? If you can see in some of the local ones. But the problem was the editing, the production, the pre-production, the post-production, everything has been horrible.
Right.
For example, like when a comedian does a joke and he pauses in between, it's
don't
a pregnant
cut the pause.
But production will cut the pause to save some seconds. Right? So basically, essentially, they're taking the soul out of that joke. So it goes da 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 ba, straight to the punchline, no pause, no build up of tension, nothing. So that's the problem is production people don't know what stand up comedians do.
Unless you actually produce those
yeah.
shows.
So which is why what I'm doing now is I've walked up to some of these production and I told them that, look, if you want to do stand-up comedy, I can't do it because I'm contracted to Netflix, but this is what I can help. I can help co-direct with pre-production and post-production so that you get the best quality product out. And I'm all about some of the young comics, you know, coming up, having half an hour specials, even hour specials. And I want the best product out for these guys as well. And I want, of course, look, my intentions are personal, obviously, but because I want the best thing to come out of these production companies so that Netflix gets their gear up as well. So
of course.
They can produce more.
Well, the hustle just doesn't
stop. The hustle
stop,
doesn't
la.
Stop. You got to make things happen for
yeah.
yourself.
No, you're absolutely right. Hey, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, have things changed at all in Malaysia Baru?
Malaysia Baru, not yet.
As in for you, I mean, do you feel any different in the kind of content that you can put out there? Because stand-up comedy has always been rather brave.
Yes, yes. No, but the thing is, everybody's brave now. That's how it's changed. Like, everybody... like people.
Astro Awani is making
yeah,
jokes.
Look, no, okay, forget about Astro Awani. Your everyday Joe, right? This fella who's never done any videos, anything about... is now making videos about 1MDB. And I'm like, look, you see... comedians have been doing it since before it was cool, right? Comedians, we used to talk about this stuff that, you know, you kind of rub
that
people the wrong way.
That would get you arrested.
Yeah, and we were doing it before it was cool. Now that it's, you know, everybody can do it, we find it in a way like we don't want to do it anymore. We don't want to talk about this stuff because it's like, what's the point? You know, unless, of course, we can make it really clever, which I have done in my anger management show, TGV. So get your tickets at tgv.com.my. And if you look, unless we do it really cleverly, it's just everyday news now. You open Twitter, everything is about, you know, criticizing the government. Oh, they've done this. Oh, they've done that. And to be fair, the Malaysia Baru, the problems before this used to be funny. The problems now are actual problems.
And you know where the trick is? The trick now is actually finding humor in this Pakatan Harapan government.
Yeah.
It's making fun of them. Because I remember even in the US when Barack Obama became president,
yeah,
late night shows and comedians had trouble making fun of him.
The problem being is I think now, Like, previously with the previous government, the government was protectant of themselves.
Yes.
Right? Now with the new Pakatan government, I think the people are more protective of the government.
It's crazy, right?
It's crazy. So you can't really say anything bad about them, or you can't really make fun of them because...
They're all like, oh, too soon.
Oh, yeah, too soon.
We're still celebrating.
Like, even though it's clear that they've done something that is worthy to make fun of, when you make fun of it, people will go like, why are you making fun of them?
Give them a chance.
It's only been 76 days. And I'm like, dude, but it's clearly funny, but well, it's protective. It's just how protective people are. And the thing is, a lot of comedians are populists, right? And they will do what is populist.
Yeah.
So they would not criticize the government yet. I will.
All right. Tell people where they can get tickets. It's on tgv.com.my.
Yes, they can go to tgv.com.my. And if you have the app, you can just go scroll it now showing.
It's just like buying a movie ticket.
It's just like buying a movie ticket, only slightly more expensive. But it's like buying a movie ticket and coming to watch a movie. But guess what? The star is there live. So it's like, you know, like watching a Brad Pitt movie, but Brad Pitt is there. I have just made a reference to myself as Brad Pitt.
Buy tickets, and the first show will be this Thursday in KL.
Yes, definitely. This Thursday in KL.
And then you move, right?
I go to... the thing is, in KL I move as well, because I'm doing One Utama, and then I'm doing Sunway Pyramid, and then I'm doing KLCC.
Okay.
And then I move on to East Malaysia, which I'm doing Kuching and Miri. I wanted to do KK, but too bad there's no TGV there. And then I come back and I do... Penang,
Ipoh,
and Johor.
All right.
JB. I'm coming to you, JB.
All right. So you can get tickets, tgv.com.my. I'm forgiving Kavin J this one time for, you know, invading my cinema space as well. The dingy stages were not enough for him.
No. Now, hey, somebody has to move up, right? But I'm looking forward to you coming to the red carpet. Right, asking me questions, and obviously my assistant will have to come and say, no, just one question.
Please,
thank you.
Just one question. Yeah. Don't harass
me. I've already hired the PA guy to do
the
that
bouncer.
For me. Yeah, yeah. No, I've already told him the situation. So he's like, yeah, I will only do that with Uma. Everybody else will have three questions.
At least three questions. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Kavin. All the best for the new show.
Thank you, man.
I've been speaking to Kavin J, stand-up comedian. He's got a series of shows exclusively at TGV Cinemas. It's going to kick off his new tour with all new material. You can go to tgv.com.my to buy tickets. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.